All right, get ready to dive into a real head-scratcher today.
Oh, I love a good mystery. Lay it on me.
Well, today's deep dive takes us into the world of butterflies.
Butterflies. Okay, color me intrigued. What's the story?
Buckle up, because we're talking about a butterfly that seems to have vanished off the face of the earth.
Vanished? You mean extinct?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, isn't it? It's a mystery that has puzzled entomologists for over a century.
Okay, you've got my attention. What kind of butterfly are we talking about?
The name is Calais pontani. Ever heard of it?
Can't say I have. And I like to think I know my way around the butterfly world. What makes this one so special?
Well, for starters, it was first described back in 1860 and hasn't been seen since.
Wow, 1860, that's a long time for a species to just disappear.
And get this, it's the only described butterfly species whose origin continent is completely unknown.
Seriously, we're talking a total question mark on the map. That's wild. So where do we even begin with a mystery like this?
Well, luckily, you sent over some incredible research.
Ah, so that's what you've been up to.
Yeah, a whole article by an entomologist who seems to have dedicated a good chunk of their life to unraveling this puzzle.
Talk about dedication. So what's the verdict? Where in the world did this Calais pontani come from?
Well, the plot thickens because there are two main contenders, Hawaii and the Strait of Magellan.
Okay, so picture this. Two butterflies, worlds apart, potentially one and the same. I'm hooked already.
And we're just getting started. Let's unpack this, starting with the Hawaiian theory. Our research mentions a Swedish priest, Samuel Pontin, who was sailing the world on this grand expedition aboard the frigate Eugenie back in 1852.
A priest, you say? Now that's an interesting twist.
Right. Not your typical butterfly hunter.
So what was he doing with butterflies?
Well, it was during this voyage that he supposedly collected this unique butterfly in Hawaii. Now, remember those scent scales we were talking about earlier?
Scent scales. Refresh my memory.
The ones that male butterflies use to release pheromones, attract mates.
Ah, right. Those. What about them?
Well, the male Calais pontani is described as having these unusually broad orange bands on its wings.
Okay, so a little flashy.
And unusually large scent scales, which makes you wonder what was so special about their environment that they needed such prominent scent scales.
It's like they were trying to get noticed. Right.
Right. Maybe attract mates from miles away or ward off predators with a powerful perfume.
Fascinating. It really makes you think about how scent shapes the butterfly world.
Totally. So we have Pontin, our butterfly collecting priest, sailing into Hawaii and supposedly finding this unique species.
Okay, but if it was in Hawaii, why haven't others seen it?
Well, that's just it. This lone butterfly, along with two more males and a parasitized pupa, eventually end up in a museum in Sweden.
Wait, back up, two more males. So there are at least four specimens.
That we know of, yes.
Interesting. And this was all from Pontin's collection.
That's the thing. The labels on these specimens suggest a direct link back to Pontin's original collection, which is pretty compelling evidence.
It's like a breadcrumb trail leading back to Hawaii. Okay, so that's one side of the story. But you said there was another possibility. The Strait of Magellan.
Exactly. Now we fast forward to 1871. A British entomologist, Arthur Gardner Butler, enters the scene.
All right, Arthur, what do you have for us?
He describes a similar butterfly as a new species, Calais imperialis, supposedly from Port Famine in the Strait of Magellan.
Hold on a second. Two different butterflies, potentially the same, one from the Pacific and one from the tip of South America. How is that even possible?
That's a million-dollar question, right?
It gets even weirder. To add to the intrigue, Butler's specimens were found among a collection of plants gathered much earlier in the 1820s by Captain Philip Parker King.
Wait, so they were misidentified? Grouped with the wrong collection?
It seems that way. There may have been some mixing of collections along the way, which makes things a little messy, to say the least.
Talk about a case of mistaken identity. So do we think these two butterflies, Pontini and Imperialis, are actually the same species?
It's highly likely, but not all experts agree. See, Butler's specimens were missing their antenna.
Missing antenna.
Yep. And that can be crucial for accurate identification.
Ah, the devil's in the details, or in this case, the missing details. But if they are the same butterfly, how did it end up on opposite sides of the world? What clues do we have?
One promising clue lies in isotope analysis of the butterfly specimens. This technique can actually help pinpoint their origin based on the unique geological signatures of different locations.
It's like a butterfly fingerprint. So what did the analysis reveal?
Well, it pointed towards Hawaii as a more likely origin than court famine, primarily due to the distinct geological differences between the two locations.
Okay, so that's one point for Team Hawaii. But if it was indeed flitting around the islands, why hasn't anyone seen it since Ponten supposedly scooped it up? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're talking about a potential extinction event here.
It really is a stark reminder of how human activities can impact even the smallest creatures.
Absolutely. So we've got isotope analysis hinting at Hawaii, but what about those other locations the Eugenie visited? Could our elusive butterfly have hitched a ride from somewhere else entirely?
It's a fair question.
The research mentioned stops in San Francisco and even the Galapagos Islands.
Our persistent entomologist considered those locations as well.
Yeah.
Based on what we know about butterfly distribution, it's unlikely.
So we can rule those out?
At least for now.
Okay. But there's still one intriguing possibility we haven't explored yet, the Bachelor River hypothesis.
Ah, yes. This is where the story takes a turn for the adventurous.
The Bachelor River. Tell me more.
Well, remember those captivating descriptions in the Eugenie's logbook we mentioned earlier?
How could I forget? A ship's logbook is like a time capsule.
Right. They made a stop at the mouth of the Bachelor River in February 1852.
Just a few months before their supposed encounter with the Calais Ponteni in Hawaii.
Exactly. The logbook describes it as this incredibly lush, almost rainforest-like environment, teeming with life.
Sounds idyllic. Did they mention spotting any butterflies there? Maybe our little orange-winged friend was hiding in plain sight?
Surprisingly, no. They were in a bit of a rush, actually.
All
yeah,
right.
They were navigating this notoriously treacherous channel, trying to continue on their journey.
Right, of course.
It wasn't until decades later that anyone proposed the Bachelor River as a possible origin for the Calais Ponteni.
That's where our modern-day butterfly enthusiasts enter the picture.
Precisely. It's like something out of an adventure novel.
So tell me what happened. Did they find it?
Well, two separate expeditions were launched, each inspired by this entomologist's research.
Wait, two?
Yes. Hiroshi Hara and Daniel Rosengren both embarked on separate journeys to the Bachelor River.
Wow. Talk about dedication.
They were determined to find evidence of this vanished butterfly.
So did they. Did they strike gold?
Unfortunately, no. Neither Hara nor Rosengren found any trace of the Calais Ponteni.
Another dead end.
It seems so, yes. Though it's worth noting that the Bachelor River area wasn't ideal for a Calais butterfly.
How so?
Well, both explorers mentioned that while it was certainly lush, it wasn't the kind of open habitat that Calais butterflies usually prefer.
Oh, interesting. So it wasn't a very Calais-friendly rainforest, so to speak.
Precisely.
Okay. So we've ruled out a few locations, but we still have a lot of conflicting information.
Mm.
Speaking of conflicting information, I can't help but wonder about those historical sources.
The logbooks and collection labels.
Yeah, I mean, these were collected in the 1800s, right? How reliable can they really be?
That's a crucial point, and one that our entomologist grapples with as well.
So what's the verdict? Are we dealing with a case of unreliable narrators?
Potentially. There's always the possibility of mislabeling and inaccuracies. Remember those butterflies in the Banksian cabinet, the ones Butler described as Calais imperialis?
The ones that were potentially mislabeled.
Exactly. It's possible they were mistakenly attributed to port famine. They could have come from somewhere else entirely and simply ended up mixed in with those specimens.
So someone accidentally put the wrong label on the wrong butterfly.
It's possible.
Wow. It's like a library mix-up, but with butterflies.
And there's also uncertainty surrounding the documentation practices of the time. Remember, this was the 19th century standards weren't quite as rigorous as they are today.
That's true. It makes you appreciate the meticulous work of these early explorers and scientists, even with all these limitations.
Absolutely. Their work laid the foundation for what we know today.
So where do we go from here? With all this conflicting evidence and potential for error, what do the experts think about the origin of Calais Ponteni?
Well, even among the experts, opinions are divided.
Oh.
Some, like Zimmerman, lean towards a South American origin.
Okay.
While others, like Shapiro, acknowledge the uncertainty but emphasize the importance of rediscovering this butterfly for understanding its evolution.
So it's a debate that's been going on for over a century.
It really has.
It's fascinating. This butterfly has become a legend, a sort of holy grail for entomologists.
It really has.
Speaking of legends, what about that parasitized pupa we mentioned earlier? Could that hold the key to cracking this case wide open?
It certainly could.
How so?
Don't forget, it was found in Uppsala, Sweden, and the label seems to directly link it to Pontaine's collection.
So if that pupa is indeed a Culeus pontani, and it was found alongside specimens linked to Hawaii, that strengthens the case for the Hawaiian origin, right?
It does lend further weight to the argument, especially when considered with the isotope analysis.
Okay, so we're back to Hawaii.
Well, the pupa raises its own set of questions, too. The fact that it was parasitized suggests it may have come from a captive colony.
I see what you mean.
So was it part of Pontaine's collection from the wild, or was it acquired later?
Another twist. It seems like every piece of evidence we uncover brings with it a whole new set of questions.
That's what makes this so fascinating, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
So, after all this back and forth, all this evidence and speculation, what's the bottom line? What's the most compelling argument for the origin of Culeus pontani?
Well, if we consider all the available evidence...
The isotope analysis, the historical accounts, the arguments against other possible locations.
Right. If we consider all of that, Hawaii does emerge as the most likely origin.
So Team Hawaii is in the lead, but it sounds like the case is far from closed.
Exactly. It's not a slam dunk just yet.
So what would it take to definitively solve this mystery and put all the debate to rest? What's the smoking gun in a case like this?
Well, in this day and age, DNA analysis is the gold standard.
Of course. Unlocking the secrets hidden within those tiny butterfly scales.
Precisely. With all the advancements in DNA technology, it's now possible to extract and analyze DNA from even very old museum specimens.
It's like something out of Jurassic Park, but with butterflies instead of dinosaurs. So have we tried that? Extracted DNA from those Culeus pontani specimens.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Well, our entomologist ends his research with a call to action, urging further investigation using these new DNA techniques.
So the mystery is still alive, just waiting for a new generation of scientists to pick up the torch and run with it.
It really highlights how much we still don't know about the natural world.
It's humbling, isn't it, to think that even something as seemingly small and insignificant as a butterfly can hold such profound secrets?
I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
Well, this deep dive has certainly opened my eyes to the intricate world of these creatures, that's for sure.
And to the dedicated individuals who devote their lives to understanding them.
Absolutely. It makes you realize that mysteries aren't just something out of a detective novel.
They're everywhere we look. The natural world is full of them.
Just waiting to be unraveled. And who knows, maybe someone listening right now will be the one to finally solve the mystery of the Culeus pontani. Until next time, keep those minds curious.